Welcome back to The Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about mastering nerves. Ashish was both thrilled and terrified. Ashish held a senior position at a global law firm because he had expertise in an arcane field of economic analysis. The prior year, a corporation represented by the firm had been sued over a very odd, very narrow stakeholder complaint. If Ashish's firm didn't win the case, the corporation could be at risk for billions of dollars over decades. Ashish came up with a theory that would defend the corporation's position. That theory of his had become the heart of the defense. Soon, as part of the case, he was going to have to testify before a judge and explain his analysis. "This is a dream come true, Tom," he told me during a coaching session. "A theory of mine is going to end up influencing the outcome. Enormous sums are at stake here, and my theory could be the hinge point. I couldn't be more delighted." He smiled and said, "I like when people pay attention to my ideas. I love my ideas. I wish more people wanted to know about them. And now they will, if," he raised a finger dramatically, "if I can explain my theory to the judge." "Well, no, I certainly can explain it. The question is whether I can explain it in a way the judge will understand." I asked, "Why wouldn't the judge understand?" He blew out a breath and shook his head. "My nerves. I used to get very nervous. I would babble. The worst word salad you've ever heard. If that happens in front of this judge, that would put the case at risk." "Is that a possibility?" I asked. "That you would babble in front of the judge?" "Maybe not," he said. "I haven't had an attack in a long time now, but I remember how it felt when I did. I watched nonsense come out of my mouth. I couldn't stop it. I knew it was happening. Well, except this once. I've never forgotten this. I haven't told this story in a long time. This was a heart stopper, Tom. I was making my first presentation to the board of directors at a company where I'd been barely a year. I'm standing at the end of the conference table. My slides are on the screen. I go through my spiel. And when I finish, I see a sticky note on the table next to my computer, and I think, that wasn't there before. It's in my admin's handwriting. I read it. It's fine. No big deal. But I cannot figure out how it got there. So after the meeting, I ask her, where did this note come from? And she looks at me like maybe I'm not well, and she says, I handed it to you. And I say, you did? In there? In front of the board? And she says, yes, in front of the board. Tom, I had no memory of her ever being there. She told me she walked in from the back of the room and walked the whole length of the table, and I never saw her. Now, whenever I think about it, it's hard to believe your mind can do that to you. How frightened must I have been to not even see her? Like you blacked out, I said. But kept talking, evidently. I asked around afterwards. Nobody noticed anything. I must have gone into some kind of trance. I don't know what happened. And that's scary, too. What if that happened again? I asked, is there reason to worry? You said you hadn't had an attack in a long time. I understand why it would be on your mind, but it seems you're managing it, but maybe not. No, I think I am, he said. I remind myself of something I said to one of my daughters when she was young. I think I made it up. Maybe I read it somewhere. In any case, she used to get so nervous she would vomit. And one day I said to her, look, whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And once it happens, then you'll deal with it. But right now, all your worries about what's going to happen, they're just made-up stories. It's not real. And it seems your stories have pretty unhappy endings. I wonder if you could write yourself a happy ending. And that is how I coach myself against my nerves. Write a happy ending. Create a positive outcome. Think, people are going to like this. which is not that hard because I really do like talking about my ideas. It's why I still lecture at two universities. I love talking about my ideas. It's not hard to create a happy ending. They're going to love this lecture, or they're going to support my position, or whatever. I can picture a good outcome. I nodded, agreeing, saying, when I talk with people about nervousness, I ask, what outcome are they imagining? If it's a bad outcome, focused on their weaknesses and what might go wrong, it makes sense they would feel nervous. But if they're imagining their strengths and where they're confident, there's just no room for nerves. So I say choose your focus. You have control over your thoughts. What ending are you imagining? He asked, what else do you talk about when you talk with people about nervousness? I smiled and said, well, there's a tool I talk about all the time, and it comes from a story of my own that I tell. Can I hear it? He asked. Sure. I took a breath. One of my first professional acting jobs right out of school was at an enormous theater here in Los Angeles called the Amundsen. It seats 3,000 people. When you put on theater for 3,000 people, it has to be big. Well, I had a tiny little part in a gigantic extravaganza. My big moment was a two-line exchange with the big star. And this woman, I was in awe of her. She was just amazing. I felt so lucky to have watched her in rehearsals. So anyway, one night, I say my first line, and I see her reply, but I couldn't hear her reply. It was like she was on mute. And I say my second line, and she does what she always does, so I leave like I usually leave, but I could not hear her. I had gone deaf. He said, like I had gone blind. I nodded. Amazing, right? My nerves shut down my hearing like your nerves shut down your vision. And out of this came a tool, he asked? Yes, because I needed something fast. I was thinking, if this happened again the next night, my career is over. I was freaking out. So I asked myself, okay, you couldn't hear her. What could you hear? And I knew the answer right away. I was hearing my self-critical voice. I knew that voice. I had named that voice. I called that voice Nasty. Nasty said all the things that scared me. Things like, she doesn't think you're much of an actor. And you're really over your head here, Buster. And you are making no impression here at all, you know. Nasty was scary. And Nasty had become louder than that actress I adored. That's what I could hear. So here's what I thought to do. I made up a sock puppet, a really soft, goofy, harmless little thing that I could make talk by quacking my hand, and I put Nasty's voice in the sock puppet. So it still said everything that scared me, but it was a sock puppet, and it was outside me. That became important for me. Having the sock puppet separate from me meant Nasty wasn't inside me anymore. It wasn't part of me. It was out there. And suddenly I had two voices I could choose between. I could choose to listen to whatever was happening in front of me and be present, or I could choose to listen to my sock puppet and feel hijacked. I had choice. He nodded. Hijacked, like I was in that boardroom. After we both paused, I said, a lot of people think their nerves mean something. If they feel nervous, it must mean bad things are going to happen. But that's not what nerves mean at all. You can be nervous and still do just great. Nervousness is just a condition in the body, like hunger, like thirst. You can be hungry and thirsty and still do your job, right? Well, you can be nervous and still do your job. That's a revelation for some people. She said, it makes me think of something my wife has been saying to me for years. It's not your car. She first said it because we used to live near a neighbor whose car alarm went off all the time, and it used to infuriate me. And she'd say, but it's not your car. She was saying, let it go, let it be, get on with your life, do the task at hand, whatever that is. Never mind the alarm, it's not your car. Just like you can be nervous and still do your job. Do both, it's okay. I said, I like it's not my car, that's helpful. He said, and I like your sock puppet. Ashish enjoyed the experience of giving testimony in front of the judge. To him, the experience was an exciting intellectual jousting match. Mastering his nerves allowed him to focus and show up with the look and sound of leadership. As I was writing this episode, it occurred to me that over my 30 years listening and talking with people, I've probably talked about nervousness more than any other topic. I've gotten to see which tools people consistently find the most helpful. And in this part of the show, I want to tell you my top three, and then I want to tell you about a case of nervousness that happened on a global stage that I found amazing to watch. Okay, you ready? So first, the top three ideas to help you master your nerves. Number one, celebrate incremental improvement. If you want to master your nerves, you need to notice yourself getting better, no matter how small the win. If you say one less celebrate. If you're nervous 1 minute less, celebrate. If out of 10 questions you get asked, you can answer just one of them with clarity and spark, celebrate. So what does this mean? How would you put this into action? Here's what you do. You pick some part of your nerves that you want to improve. So maybe you're going to focus on something physical, like not racing through your words. Or maybe you're going to focus on something mental, like not letting your thoughts go racing. Whatever you focus on, whatever you want to make better, take its measure and set yourself a goal. It would sound something like this. Next time, before my next presentation, I'd like my nerves to be at 4 instead of 8. That would be a reasonable goal. But what if you only get to 6? You celebrate. To manage your nerves, you have to create a positive feedback loop. I have come to believe that most people are not wired to celebrate incremental improvement. They have to make themselves notice good things. Most people learn to celebrate incremental improvement. If you can do it, it makes a difference. Celebrate incremental improvement. Okay, that's idea number one. Before I jump into idea number two, I want to make a quick diversion. I want to say a word about panic. Some people experience panic. I think panic is different from nerves. Over the years, clients who have panic have told me that beta blockers help them. They were still nervous, but they weren't panicked. If your nerves feel like panic, racing heart, short of breath, you might talk to a doctor about beta blockers. Okay, so idea number one was celebrate incremental improvement. Now we get to number two. Write happy endings. Ashish and I talked about this during the episode. The message is this: how you think affects how you feel. Write happy endings will help master your nerves. So how does it work? You ask yourself, what do I imagine is going to happen? And listen to your answer. What do I imagine is going to happen? If you're nervous, it's almost guaranteed you are picturing an unhappy ending. Something bad is going to happen. I mean, come on. If it were all glory and rainbows, why would you be nervous, right? So there has to be some tripwire in there. What is it? That's your job. Articulate specifically, what are you worried about? And then you ask yourself this question. Those things that I'm worried about, are they in my control? If they are, just go do them. I mean, take care of business. But if they're not, well, then you don't know what's really going to happen. That's the very definition of not being in control, right? You don't know what's going to happen. And you have made up a story that is making you nervous. So unwrite that story. Write a happy ending. The more positively you think about the event, the smaller your nerves will be. This is in your control. And it's not unlike celebrating incremental improvement, except that's assessing what happened and looking for the good in it. This is creating the future, writing a happy ending. Once again, I would say people are not wired for this tool, but when they learn it, their nerves are not a problem. That's idea number two, write happy endings. Here's idea number three. So this is a variation on the sock puppet or Ashish's car alarm. The idea is this. Ignore your nerves. Ignore them. Your nerves are like a bully on the playground. They're just trying to scare you. And any engagement you have with them is going to be a loss. So ignore them. You don't have to kill them. You don't have to make them shut up. Ignoring your nerves makes them powerless. If you ignore them, you might still feel nervous, but you can still do your job, right? And you can be nervous and still celebrate incremental improvement. You can be nervous and still write a happy ending. Those are the top three ideas about mastering nerves. Celebrate incremental improvement, write happy endings, ignore your nerves. Next, a story about a very public case of nerves that I find so inspiring. I cannot wait to share it with you right after this month's gratitude. This month, gratitude to you as a community of listeners who are so engaged. As one example, Charles Lambden, a listener in Portland, he reached out to me. He asked for the PDF that we have about six books that we recommend. And the next thing I know, he sends me a picture of all six books on his desk. I'm so grateful for things like that. Charles, thank you. But so many of you do things like that. Also, it seems like as a group, you all did something that I'm grateful for. It seems you listened to the interview that I did on Neha Singh's podcast, Bridge to Leadership. I mentioned it on an episode here, and she saw a spike in her numbers. Now, I'm going to assume that that's all of you. I am grateful for your interest and grateful for your support. And by the way, I misspoke when I said Neha was part of a layoff. She was not. I'm sorry. That was my mistake. Gratitude this month to all the coaches who listen. Thank you so much. Also, for all of you, please stay tuned after the sign-off. I have two resources I want to share with you. As ever, gratitude for people who post reviews this month, thanks to Dogeboy765 here in the U.S. And to answer your question, yes, I do read what you wrote, and I was so grateful to know that you find the show inspiring. Thank you. Thank you to all of you. Okay. This story. This story is like a shot of inspiration directly in my veins. Before I tell you the story, I want to tell you why I'm sharing it with you. For years and years, people have told me how helpful the idea of the sock puppet has been. People tell me that externalizing their nasty voice helps them gain control over it. This story is about a woman whose anxiety hijacked her on a global stage in front of millions of people. Her anxiety started speaking for her, saying things she did not want to say, and the story is about her heroic struggle. You can watch this unfold for yourself. It's a 3-minute clip of Emma Stone struggling to make her acceptance speech at the 2024 Academy Awards when she won for Best Actress. As background, Emma Stone is an American actress. She's in her 30s. She has been performing professionally since she was a teenager. And all that time, she has been battling anxiety. She talks openly about how when she can control her anxiety, it becomes a fantastic creative tool, but sometimes she can't control it, and those are bad experiences for her. Well, during this little clip, Emma Stone is wrestling her anxiety in real time, in full view of all of us. When you watch it, the link is in the show notes, when you watch it, here's what I think you'll see. It's the Academy Awards, Best Actress category, close-up on all five nominees, the envelope opens, the name is called, Emma Stone. And now the close-up is just on her. The camera's right in her face, and it is plain she is not happy. She is flooded with feelings. You can see them flashing across her face, and none of them are happy. Her anxiety is in control right there. And she gets out of her chair. She starts hugging people, so now we're seeing her from behind. And the next time we see her face, she's climbing up the stairs, and she is weeping. And these are not happy tears. And as she's climbing, she says, "My dress is broken." And I thought to myself, her dress? Really? Is that the top thing on her mind at this moment in her life? Her dress? I thought, that is her anxiety talking. When she finally gets to the microphone, you'll see she's fighting tears, but she's doing okay. And then she gasps and she winces and she says, "Oh boy. This is really overwhelming." And she means it. She is being overwhelmed by her anxiety. You can see it. And her anxiety speaks for her out loud. Her anxiety starts to make an apology. And she just shuts her mouth and she shakes her head no. And then her anxiety says, "My voice is a little off." And she interrupts it and says, "Whatever." and suddenly Emma Stone is there. It's amazing. The anxiety is gone until it's not. It flares up again, and suddenly Emma Stone says, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm totally, and she shakes her head again, and she goes, okay. And boom, she wins again. What moves me every time I watch this clip is imagining the years of struggle it must have taken her to get to that place, to get to where her rational brain could register that her anxiety was speaking, and there on a global stage, at the pinnacle of her profession, at the moment when all the eyes of the world are on her and haters are inevitable, she faces down her anxiety. I think it's a lesson for all of us. She mastered her nerves. And you can too. The three ideas in this part of the show: celebrate incremental success, write happy endings, ignore your nerves. I wrote those three things in the show notes so you can grab them. There's also a link to the Emma Stone clip. And by the way, I just want to say the irony is not lost on me that my third idea is ignore your nerves, right? Don't fight with your nerves. And then I tell you this story of Emma Stone fighting the hell out of her nerves. I shared that story as a vision of what I think mastery looks like. Emma Stone has been working hard to master her nerves for years. She is a pro, which is why that clip is so inspiring. But most of us aren't that far along in our journeys. So ignore your nerves. That's a good strategy for now. We have lots more tools to help you master your nerves. We just created a new category in the library called nervousness. So this episode is in that category and two others: managing yourself and self-talk. Those are categories in the library, links in the show notes. There are lots of episodes you might listen to, but five in particular are Act As If, Choosing Persistence, Conquering Fear, The Executive Imposter, some really good tools in there, and The Many Parts of You. If you're having trouble with this whole idea of separating your nervousness like into a sock puppet, The Many Parts of You might help you with that thinking. All right, that's it for me. Coaches, stay tuned. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening. Hello, coaches. Two resources. One is a podcast. There is a podcast called Coaching Stories. The host is a woman named Sam Humphrey. She used to be the global head of coaching at Unilever. On her show, she asks senior coaches to tell a flow story and a fall story. Every episode that I listen to has been interesting and instructive. I encourage you to check it out. Coaching Stories Podcast. The second resource is one I've mentioned before. I just want to put it back in your mind. It is the Executive Coaching Special Interest Group that I lead as part of ICF Los Angeles. We meet six times a year. We talk about all aspects of being an executive coach. People join from all over the country, internationally, actually. We see ourselves as a learning community, open to anyone who's curious. Come check us out. Thanks to you who've already been there, that has been really fun to see you there. Thank you so much. A link for the podcast and a link for the SIG are both in the show notes. Okay, coaches, take care. Bye.